You are not an ordinary person. We are the outshining of God's glory. Don't let any circumstance have enough power to bother you. The Father has nowhere to stay than inside you and cannot express himself unless through your body. So your body becomes his body. That is why the Bible says we are the body of Christ. Shout it. Say, I'm a doer of the word. I'm a world shaker. I live by the word. I'm born by the word. We are here to produce heaven on this earth. I produce heaven on earth. Zadiva Kasi. For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory. That's why I say, don't give up. Hey. Moko seki para vuka du seki baha. Zagu. Rebege de Bezia. Vege. Yakusa ti paroski para katara. Ah, I feel like turning water into wine.
You are invited to World Changes Conference this Sunday at Airport West Hotel at 6 p.m. and every other Sunday. Christ Jesus, the mirror of the Christian. Enjoy grace as you grow in the knowledge of God.
Amen. Amen. Are you ready for the word? Amen. Can you please be on your feet? Hallelujah. I want you to lift up your right hand and say these words after me. The word of God is God speaking unto me. I am who Christ is. I have what Christ has. I can do what Christ can do. I am seated where Christ is seated. I am the express image of his person. I am the brightness of his glory. I am who Christ is. I have what Christ has. I can do what Christ can do. Amen. Please, you can take your seats. Hallelujah. If you are here, God called you here. Amen. World Changes is a movement. Hallelujah. Is a movement with and of the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. God doesn't want us to know many things. He wants us to know Jesus Christ, his son. Bible says that in the past, God spoke to us. God who has sundry times, Hebrews chapter 1. God who has sundry times, spoke to us by the fathers who has sundry times. Speak to the fathers by the prophets. He had in these last days spoken unto us by his son, whom he had appointed heir of all things. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners speak in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, had in these last days spoken unto us by his son. Amen. He has spoken unto us by his son, whom he had appointed heir of all things. When you go to the verse 2, he says that, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. Jesus Christ is described as the express image of God's person. From creation, God had desired to reveal himself to man or in man. But he couldn't fully do that. He couldn't reveal himself fully. So he started revealing himself in shadows. Hallelujah. And in the Old Testament, the prophets of God, they had a revelation from God. Hallelujah. And their revelation portrayed a part of God. But it still wasn't enough. God wanted to make himself known fully to man. Throughout the Bible, God wants to show himself. When you read the book of Ephesians, it says that to the intent that unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known by the church the many-sided wisdom of God. Hallelujah. God wants to show himself through man. Amen. But he couldn't do that in the Old Testament. Hallelujah. He couldn't. And in Hebrews we are told that whatever he did in the Old Testament, the things he spoke and all those things, it couldn't fully reveal him until he sent his son, Jesus Christ. So when he sent his son, Jesus was the embodiment of everything that God wanted to say to man. Amen. He was God's plan and purpose in man. Hallelujah. When he saw Jesus Christ walking on the earth, he was the full plan and purpose of God in a person. If God wanted to say something to Brother Prince, Minister Prince, and Minister Prince sees Jesus, he has seen everything that God wants to tell him. Amen. The word of God to you, or the word of God to me, is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Please, I want you to follow me. Amen. Hallelujah. See, the word of God is the standard. Your standard for life should be what God's word presents. Hallelujah. The Bible says that in the beginning was the word, and the word was God, and the word was God. Then he goes on and he says that in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness comprehends it not. John was the one speaking. In the beginning was the word, and the word was God. And the word was God. The word and God, hallelujah, were one. See, why are you seeing these colors you are seeing in this room? You are seeing a multicolored shirt I'm wearing, amen, and a blue-black suit. Why are you seeing that? It's because of the kind of light that is reflecting on it. Amen. When you study physics, I think white light or something. Amen. Under a different light, this material may appear to be a different color. Amen. The reason you are seeing this color is because of the type of light under which you are seeing it. Amen. Hallelujah. Bible says that he calls Jesus Christ the true light. The true light. That lights every man that comes into the world. The true light. Amen. So he is the perfect description of all things. When you hear Jesus talk, that is the perfect description of things. He is the one that describes things perfectly because he is the true light. Amen. So when a man stands there and says, I am this, I am that, he is not that until Jesus says he is. Because he is the true light that lights up every man that comes into the world. Hallelujah. You are not who you say you are. You are who God says you are. The word, the true light. Hallelujah. The light of God, Jesus Christ. He said he's the brightness of his glory. And the express image of his person. Who is Jesus Christ? Who is he? Hallelujah. The whole world must know Jesus. They must know Jesus. Bible calls him the image of the one who was to come. He calls Adam the image of the one who was to come. Even Adam was a shadow. He was the shadow of the original person, Jesus Christ. Jesus was the plan of God before the foundations of this world. Before God created Adam, he had Jesus in mind. Who is Jesus? Hallelujah. Open to Romans chapter 1. I'm reading from the New King James Version. Paul, Romans chapter 1. Paul, a bond servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Amen. Paul, a born servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. The gospel of God. Bible says that God promised the gospel through the prophets in scriptures. He promised. So in times, God like spoke through the prophets. He was telling the world about to bring a gospel to you. Gospel means good news. Amen. And when you go to the verse 3, he says that this gospel concerns his Son Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The gospel of God, it concerns his Son Jesus Christ. God's good news is about his Son Jesus Christ. Why should God, okay, okay, please come. Let's say this is God. Amen. Why should God's good news, what do I have to do with his good news? Hallelujah. He's here and I'm here. So if he has a good news, it's beneficial on him, not me. So how do I benefit from God's good news? He says that the good news concerning his Son Jesus Christ. God has a Son, big deal. Please, you can take your seat. Thank you. How does that benefit me? The gospel concerning his Son Jesus Christ. And when Jesus came on the scene, according to Luke, the Bible says when he started preaching in the temple, he said, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, for he had anointed me to preach the good news to the poor." Hallelujah. To preach the good news. In other words, to preach the gospel to the poor. And the gospel is about him. The gospel is a representation of Jesus Christ. It speaks of only one person, Jesus Christ. And he tells us that the Spirit of God is upon me, for he had anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Why? He didn't say he has anointed me to give the poor money, but to preach the gospel to the poor. So what benefit, what was Jesus trying to communicate to us? Preaching the gospel to the poor. What was he trying to communicate? The gospel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you here? Are you following me? Amen. Preaching the gospel. Who is Jesus Christ? Bible says that, according to what we just read, that God wanted to, he had promised his own gospel, his good news, and that bringing it to man concerning his Son Jesus Christ. Amen. Go to John chapter 1. See, until you know Jesus Christ, you might describe things wrongly. Until you know him, you will describe things wrongly. And the first thing that you describe wrongly is yourself. Hallelujah. Because he is the true light. Amen. Jesus Christ. John chapter 1. Who is Jesus? The Bible says that in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Hallelujah. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. And without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Let's jump to the verse 14. Verse 14 says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. In the verse 1, he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Hallelujah. So right now, we've seen that the Word is God, according to scriptures. The Word was God. Amen. But when it comes to the verse 14, the Bible says that, and the Word became flesh. The Word that was God became flesh. How? How could God, the Word, become flesh? We know the story of the virgin birth. Amen. So I'll just run through it. Mary was a virgin betrothed to Joseph. Okay. And the Bible says that one day an angel appeared unto Mary. He said, thou art highly favored among women. God is with you. Said all those things. And the angel told Mary that you are going to give birth to a son. And you call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Then Mary says, and she said, how shall this be? Seeing that I know not a man. Then the angel told her, the Spirit of God shall come upon you, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow you. Therefore, that holy thing that you be born will be the Son of the Highest. Hallelujah. Mary said something remarkable. She said, be it unto me according to your word. Amen. When Mary said that, she mixed the words she heard from the angel with faith. Amen. And when she did that, immediately life. Hallelujah. When you mix the word with faith, it produces life. Life was formed in Mary's womb. So the word that the angel spoke unto Mary, when she received it by faith, she had the miracle child, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Why was it so important for Jesus to be born of a virgin? Why? He could have come through anyone, through Elizabeth, but it had to be a virgin. Why did God do that? What's the importance of a virgin birth? So we are talking about Jesus Christ. I'm trying to show you who he is. Okay. Amen. Are you here? Are you following? Amen. See, when Adam sinned, okay, he handed his, the power of attorney, okay, he was in charge of the world by then, Adam. He was in charge of the world. So when he sinned, he gave his authority to the devil. Amen. And Adam himself became corrupted with sin. And Adam was the father of everyone that was born on the earth. Amen. So he passed on the seed of sin from one generation to another. So everyone who was born in sin. Amen. But God wanted to do something for man. Okay. And anything that God does is just. God is not a fool. Amen. So when he is doing things, he does it justly. So he had to bring someone for God to atone for the sins of man. Okay. He had to present someone who was sinless. Amen. And because the seed is from man, okay, when a man and a woman meet, okay, the seed is from the man. The man is the one that gives the sperm, okay, for the baby to be formed and all that. That seed was corrupted. That is why Jesus wasn't born of the seed of man. So when Jesus was born, he was unique in his generation. He was the only one that was not corrupted by sin. That is why it was legal for him to die for man and to save them from their sins. It was legal. He was the only one who could do it because of the type of seed that he was carrying. He was carrying the seed of God. He himself was God's seed. Amen. And we all know by biology and all those things that if a woman is carrying a baby, okay, her blood and the baby's blood do not mix. Amen. Those who have studied biology, I hope you know that. Their blood, it doesn't mix. Okay. So when the angel spoke the word to Mary, everything that could sustain Jesus was in that word. The only thing that Mary could supply Jesus was the body. Amen. But sin is not about the body, it's about the seed. Amen. So Jesus was not corrupted. That is the man Jesus. Amen. That is Jesus Christ. And the Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, from verse 5 downwards, it says that, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus, who though was in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he took on himself the nature of a servant. Please can you turn there? Bible calls him, he said, he was in the form of God. He was in the form of God, but he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, and took upon himself the nature of a servant. He says that, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself unto death and all those kind of things. I want to show you something that Jesus was God. Okay. But when he came on the earth and he took on flesh, he became like a servant because he was trapped in this body. Hallelujah. He became a man in the body. So he put all his glory as God aside. Then he took on himself the nature of a servant. That is why he couldn't do anything that his father had not ordered him to do. Because of the body that he was having. Amen. He was found in fashion as a man. Hallelujah. Then he died for us. When he was about to die, what happened? What happened during his death? Please, this is just the introduction, okay, of the topic. When Jesus was about to die, what happened? The Bible says, concerning the Lord's Supper, I don't know how many of you went for Lord's Supper today. Amen, but I did. Amen. The Bible says that during the night, for him to be betrayed, he took bread, broke it, he gave thanks and he broke it. And he gave it to the disciples and said, take it, this is my body, which is broken for you. In the same manner, after supper, he took the cup and he said, this is the blood in the new of the covenant in my blood, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. What was he doing? What was he doing? That night he cut a covenant with them and he became identified together with them. That was the night Jesus became one with man. Hallelujah. That made it possible for him to die for you and I. That was the night. He became one. He became identified together with us in our death. Amen. So he was in us and we were in him. Amen. So Jesus became like any other person. Then the crucifixion happened. And the Bible says on the cross, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? God turned his back on me. You know the story. Then he died. Please open to 1 Corinthians. Hallelujah. When he was identified with man on the cross, the Bible says something in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Okay, he says from the verse 14 downwards. He says that, for we thus judge, that if one died for all, then we're all dead. If one died for all, then we're all dead. Jesus died for us. So in the mind of God, God was seeing the whole human race as on the cross. Amen. So when Jesus was on the cross, I was on the cross in him. Amen. Everyone was on the cross with Jesus when he died, because he died as a representation of man. Hallelujah. Are you following me? On the cross, we were in him. We were identified together with Jesus on the cross. So when he died and was buried, we were buried with him. 1 Corinthians. Are you there? 1 Corinthians 15. I'm reading from verse 35 downwards. He says, but someone will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Foolish one, what you sow is not made alive unless it dies. And what you sow, you do not sow that body that shall be, but a mere grain, perhaps wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as he pleases, and to each seed its own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of animals, another of fish, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differs from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. Please let's jump to the verse 45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterward, the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. Amen. Here it was describing Jesus Christ, okay? It was describing the resurrection from the dead. Pharisees and Sadducees, some people didn't believe in resurrection, okay? And here Paul was trying to talk about resurrection, the type of bodies we will be having during the resurrection. Amen. But I wanted to communicate something to you, but I want you to put your hand there and go to Romans chapter 6. We'll come to the scripture again later. Romans chapter 6. Is anyone there? Can we have someone read for us from the verse 1 to verse 4? From verse 1 to verse 6. Can we have someone read for us? Romans chapter 6. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't know how many of us who were here last year, we spoke on the new creation, and we talked about the old man. And we said the old man is the sin nature or the man who is not born again wearing sin on his spirit. That's the old man. Amen. And I just told you that we were united together with Christ in his death. So when he was on the cross, we were on the cross. Baptism signifies that. Amen. He says that we are buried with him by baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So, Jesus Christ, when he died, in the mind of God, we died with him. That is how God saw it. When he died on the cross, we were in him. When he was buried, we were in him. When he went to hell, we went to hell in him. Hallelujah. So the Christian, amen. The Christian has been to hell before. Amen. You have been to hell before. You went to hell in Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Amen. Are you here? Are you following me? Amen. Jesus Christ went to hell and we were in him. The Bible says that he drew off principalities from himself and made a show of them publicly. That's in Colossians chapter 2 verse 15. Okay, he made a show of them publicly, triumphing over them in it. He was talking about when he went to hell and all that took place in hell. But there's something significant about Jesus Christ. Why is it that Jesus, God, we read from the beginning that Jesus, the Word of God, became flesh. And he was God, fully God. Amen. Why did he have to come? Why did he have to be the Son of God? Why? It wasn't just because of sin. Why did he have to be the Son of God? Because to be the Son of God, in a way, it takes something from him. Hallelujah. In a way. Why did Jesus have to come to be the Son of God? Why did he come? In John chapter 10, verse 10, he said, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I am come that you may have life." Or I am come that they may have life. And have it abundantly. Jesus didn't come for himself. Jesus never came for himself. He came for you and I. Hallelujah. So the life of Jesus, the life that he lived, he didn't live for himself. He lived for us. Who he was because of us. Jesus didn't need to become the Son of God. He didn't need that because he was God. Amen. He was fully God. He didn't need to become the Son of God. But he became the Son of God for us. Why? There are a lot of whys in this. Why? Because God doesn't do anything without a reason. He doesn't do anything without a reason. For Jesus to become, or for Jesus to put on flesh, there must be a reason. There must be a purpose for that to happen. And I've told you that all that he did, he didn't do for himself. He did for you and I. Amen. All that Jesus has become now, he has not become that for himself. He has become that for you and I. Bible says that if you have been planted together in the likeness of his death, so shall we be in the likeness of his resurrection. His resurrection. That's the most important thing you should know now. His resurrection. Amen. He died in shame, but he was raised in glory. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and he rose for you and I. It is something we must celebrate. The resurrection. Our celebration in Christianity is not because Jesus died, but because he rose from the dead. That is our celebration. So when people are enjoying Easter here and there, it is because Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Hallelujah. He rose from the dead. Bible says that Open to Romans chapter 8. He says that, but Romans 8:11. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised up Christ from the dead shall also give life to your mortal body by his spirit that dwells in you. Raised from the dead. God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Do I have born again people in this house? Hallelujah. Can someone tell with me how he thinks he's born again? How do you know you are born again? Can I call anyone to? Amen. Oh, we need volunteers. Hallelujah. Listen, when it comes to world changes, it's not about, we are giving you a consciousness. So that when you go out there, you know who you are. And you live who you are. Hallelujah. The reason for the knowledge of Christ is for living. Amen. Please, I still need my volunteers. I need two people or three. Two, three. Back of it, please. Those of us who came first there. those who came last day. Nana, please come. Today is running away. Amen. Amen. Let me call another person. Hey, two gentlemen, one lady. You are coming to share. Please, the lady over there, can you please come? Oh, please, can you give it up to her? She's coming. The only lady. Amen. I'm not going to give you pressure. You are just, are you born again? Hallelujah. Okay, can Madam Lady, please come. How were you born again? How do you know you are born again? Hallelujah.
Yes, from what we saw in Romans chapter 6, Scripture says, we died with him. And so I believe I died with him in baptism. And then we also just saw that in Romans chapter 8 that he was raised from the dead. And when he was raised, he was quickened. The Scripture says he's the firstborn from the dead. Therefore, as he came back from the dead, he was born again. And since I died with him, then I was born again with him. So since Jesus Christ is back from the dead and is born again, then because I died with him, I'm also born again.
I would say that Romans 10:10, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, you'll be saved. And somewhere in the Bible, I can't remember, it talks about the regeneration of your spirit. So that's where, from that point, it will be a combination of confessing my heart and believing in my heart. And the Bible says it talks about the regeneration of my spirit. That's when I know that I'm born again.
How do I know? Okay. I. It's true. The simple answer is I feel it in my bones. The scripture says that to be carnally minded is death, and to be spiritually minded is life, life and peace. And there's observation and there's revelation, and I can confidently attest to the Spirit of God at work in me through the manifestation, the outworkings of Him. So that's kind of how I know, because I know that by the name of Jesus, or because of Christ that lives in me, I can heal the sick. I can raise the dead. I can minister his word. And so that's how I know that I am. It's personal.
Wow. We are all blessed. Amen. Those are powerful, powerful revelations. That is how they know they are born again. Amen. Please, let's go to 1 Peter. Hallelujah. You don't have much time. Okay. I'm reading from 1 Peter chapter 1, from verse 3 downwards. Amen. New King James. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Hallelujah. Amen. The answer is there plain. We were born again through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It is because Jesus rose from the dead. That is why we are born again. Amen. And our brother explained something. He said, we died with him. So if we died with him and God raised him up from the dead and were raised together with him, that means that we were born again also with him. Amen. Hallelujah. When you read Hebrews chapter 1, I think the verse 5, he says that, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. When Jesus died and he was raised from the dead, that was the declaration about Jesus Christ. You are my son, this day have I begotten you. Jesus was born twice. Amen. The first time he was born through the womb. The second one was through the tomb. Amen. Womb and tomb. Amen. That is a Christian. That is a Christian. We are in Christ. Hallelujah. All that he is because of us. So when we're united together with him in death, and we're buried together with him, and went to hell together with him, when God said, it's enough, the Bible says that thou shalt see his soul travail, and he will be satisfied, according to Isaiah chapter 53. When Jesus was going through all those sufferings, the Bible says that it pleased the Father that he should crush him. It pleased him. Jesus suffered like it was. I want to display a picture to you, okay? It's like someone does something wrong, okay? And I'm the judge. I'm God, okay? And Jesus comes to pay for it. He, let's say we are supposed to give him like 30 strokes for him to pay the penalty for what the other person did, okay? And Jesus comes in. He wasn't just giving 30 strokes. He was giving like 100 strokes. 30 and over, maybe 300 strokes. He was beaten until I, the judge, was satisfied. And I just breathed a breath of sigh. I just sighed. And I just, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. That is how God was satisfied with the death of Jesus Christ. He fully paid the price. Fully. He paid it so much that God said, it's okay. Then he raised him from the dead by the Holy Ghost. We heard that on Friday. Amen. He was raised from the dead by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. But when he rose from the dead, he didn't rise alone. Because when he was going down there, he wasn't going alone. There was a people in him. I'm not saying there were people. This is not grammar. Amen. There was a people in him. Hallelujah. When he was walking, he was called Christ Jesus. When he died and resurrected, But when he died and resurrected, he was called Christ Jesus. Something had changed. God said, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand till I make all thine enemies thy footstool. Sit down at my right hand. Talking about Jesus Christ. Amen. When you come to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 downwards, he said, we who were dead in trespasses and sins, has he kindled together, and he has raised us up together with him, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We who were dead in trespasses and sins, has he quickened? To quicken means to make alive. We were dead in trespasses and sins. We were dead. And he joined us in our death. And God quickened him in the spirit. And we were also quickened together with him. And when God raised him up from the dead, we were also raised up from the dead. Hallelujah. So in Philippians chapter 2, okay, Philippians chapter 2 verse 5 downwards, when God was giving Jesus Christ the name, when he was giving him the highest position in the universe, he wasn't saying that about the single man Jesus Christ. Jesus had multiplied in his death. The Bible says that unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it abides alone. But when it dies, it brings forth much fruit. Jesus died twice. He died twice. One, he died as a man. Hallelujah. As a sin offering, as the Lamb of God. He died. And secondly, he was the seed of God. As the seed of God, God had to plant him. That's the second death. When you read Isaiah chapter 53, when you study the word death there, in the Hebrew, it's plural. Okay, so it means two kinds of death. First, he died as the Lamb of God. Secondly, he died as the seed. He was planted in the earth. Hallelujah. And when he died, he germinated. When he germinated, he didn't bring... Have you ever seen someone planting maybe corn? Okay, just put the corn in the ground, and when the corn germinated, it just gave one ear of corn. Or just the single corn. It's not possible. When he died and resurrected, he became multiplied. Hallelujah. We were in him when he died. When he resurrected, we were resurrected together with him. Amen. So the Christian was born from death. That is where we came from. We came from death. We came from darkness. That is why Jesus, God said something in Colossians. He says that he had called us out of darkness. He has delivered us from the dominion of darkness. Peter says it. He says that he had called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. We were called from that dark place, from death. That is where we were called from. Because when God was calling out his son, he wasn't just calling out just that one man, Jesus. He called you and I together in him and brought us out. When a Christian was born, hallelujah, the Christian was born with a position. Amen. Read Ephesians chapter 2. When you go home, read Ephesians chapter 2. We were born with a position. We were born with the highest position in the universe. When God said, and God gave him the name that is above every other name, he wasn't just talking to one man, Jesus Christ. He was talking about us. He raised us up together and made us sit together in him in heavenly places. Bible says, afar above every principality and power, every might and dominion. Yesterday, I was telling Papa, every dominion means anything that dominates. The Christian is seated above anything that dominates. Why are you hearing these words? To give you a consciousness. We are seated together in Christ, in heavenly places. Far above every principality and power, might and dominion, and every name that is named. Every name that is named. We are seated above it. Hallelujah. Because we are raised together with Jesus. Christ Jesus, the mirror of the Christian. You cannot describe yourself until you know Jesus. Because Jesus came because of you. Suppose Christianity is when divinity meets humanity. Amen. But that's half truth. Christianity is divinity, humanity transformed into divinity. God became a man that man might become God. God, he became a man. He took upon himself the nature of a servant. He became you, that you might become him. Hallelujah. So whatever Jesus is, you are. Because you are in him. Hallelujah. A lot of the church has not mastered on this. They see Jesus afar off. But the Bible says that I am the vine, you are the branch. We are one. We are joined together with Jesus. When we're starting, I said something in Luke chapter 4. He said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Why did he have to preach the gospel to the poor? What gospel is that? Is it I'm going to give you money? No. I told you that the gospel is, it concerns a person. That's Jesus Christ. So when he says that he preached the gospel to the poor, it means that he was telling the poor that right now, when you believe in me, we will become joint heirs. Hallelujah. We are joint heirs. Joint heirs together with him. We are inheritors of God. If we can put it in human words, when you say God, when God dies, his whole estate belongs to us. The Christian is not a needy person. We are not needy. Hallelujah. We are not trying to get somewhere. We are there. Amen. So if you are here, you are God, I want there's a song. Hallelujah. Lord, I want to be more like you. It's a nice song. those of us who have voices, okay, those of us who have voices, when you sing it, Lord, I want to be more like you, then we want to be like Jesus. But the truth is that we are like Jesus. Bible says that as he is, so are we in this world. So are we in this world. As he is. I'm presenting Jesus Christ to you, your mirror. Jesus, the one that the gospel talks about, the one that the gospel is about. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Salvation. That word salvation, sozo. The power of God unto deliverance. The power of God unto peace. The power of God unto wholeness, soundness, healing. That's the meaning of salvation. Jesus is the power of God unto salvation. So when the gospel is preached unto you and you receive the gospel, you have received a person. Amen. You become that person. Hallelujah. Are we here? Are we here? Are you being blessed? Amen. We come for World Changes. World Changes is a movement. It's a movement. It's a privilege to be part of World Changes, I'm telling you. And we are not just telling you so that you know and just be walking about. We are telling you to have a consciousness so that when you go, you live like who you are supposed to live. You are a king. Bible says, unto him who loved us and washed us in his own blood and has made us kings and priests unto God. You are a king. You are not trying to achieve anything. You are not trying to achieve anything. The Christian is not trying to achieve anything. Please get it. You are not trying to do something. You have become. The Bible says that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Is a new creation. You have become. Hallelujah. He says that therefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Know we no man after the flesh. I grew up with this man. Well, Ofe. We went to the same school. But the Bible says that henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. When I meet him, he's not the person I grew up with. This is Christ sitting down there. Hallelujah.
We know no man after the flesh. When God looks at you, he is not looking at your outward appearance. He is looking at who you are on the inside. The real you. Hallelujah. That is why he calls us his righteous ones. Despite everything. Amen. That is the reason he calls us that. Because God sees right. You ought to hear right. You ought to see right. Then you will talk right. And listen, whatever you say, your language locates you. Okay? The reason you are the way you are is because of the words you've been speaking from whatever time till now. Hallelujah. We want to give you a consciousness. The consciousness of where you are and the consciousness of who you are, it creates an environment for you. When you move in a place, you move with an environment. Hallelujah. When Jesus steps here, in his bodily form, the glorified body, okay, when he steps here, Achimanazi said something. He said he was praying one day in his room. He said, and the Lord walked in my room. He walked into my room. He said, the lights were on, but the room became brighter. Hallelujah. That was glory. That is how Jesus is. He carries an atmosphere. That is how the Christian also is. But because they are not conscious of it, Bible says they know not. But God forbid, what changes? We are knowing. We are knowing. Hallelujah. Bible says that we are renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. We are renewed in knowledge. Hallelujah. True knowledge shall the just be delivered. Delivered into their inheritance. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Can you be on your feet? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to start speaking in tongues. Open your mouth and begin to speak in tongues right now. You are who Christ is. As he is, so are you in this world. When we see you, we have seen Christ in all his glory. Open your mouth and speak in tongues right now. Bible says that we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Even the hidden wisdom, which the princes of this world did not know. For had they known, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. He said, I had not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered the heart of man what God had prepared for them that love him. But he had revealed it to us by his spirit. Open your mouth and pray in tongues. He says that the spirit searched all things. Mando sanda lema suka limandolo boko sanda la baha. Mandolo boko sandi libianta lima suki andelebe. Rabandolo boko sanda la ba. Makala babo sanda lema sundi libianta. Makandolo boko sanda lima suki andelebe. Rabalaba sanda lema sanda la ba. Rabandolo boko sanda la ba.
The word is a seed. When planted and watered, grows to be great. You can be anything you want, can achieve all your dreams if you only believe. The word of God is here today, coming right at you. Would you believe it? Dare to receive. In a world where there's seasons and times, this is your season. It's time to shine again. In a world where there's seasons and times, see the day.